very pleased to bring in now Fox Chief National Correspondent Ed Henry in the role of major big-time baseball fan and not just as the National Correspondent. Ed, it's a real privilege. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Steve, I've heard your work for a long time. It's an honor to be on with you, the entire Penn State community. And I went to a baseball camp when I was a kid in Williamsport, and so I know it's not too far from you. So glad to talk 42 Faith with your whole audience.
It's terrific. In order to do your current job, you have to be well-sourced. And I'll give an example. This morning you were on Fox and Friends, and they were discussing Steve Bannon, Reince Priebus, and Jared Kushner. And you cited two sources and then it went with the story. What did it take to source out a book that is 70 years in the making?
I mean, it was only 10 years in the making for me, and I'll tell you that story in a moment. But for Jackie, you're right. I mean, this weekend, 70th anniversary of his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. I have to say that, you know, the real challenge for me was, A, I have a day job, as you say, and I've had a lot of people saying, why in the world did you do a book about baseball? I mean, look, I'm passionate about it, and I wanted to get away from my day job and do something different rather than, I mean, you wouldn't have me on if I wrote a book about Obamacare, and God, who knows, what do I have to say about Obamacare? Everything's been said, right? And I'm not picking sides, positive, negative, everything's been said. I wanted to do something different. I wanted to, you know, build on wonderful books and movies that have already been done about Jackie Robinson and Branch Rickey, and people say, what's new here? I'll tell you what's new. And I just want to build on the awesome legacy that Jackie left behind. And the angle that I took was, you know, about Jackie's faith and Branch Rickey's faith, and how it's my contention that it was sort of the secret sauce here, that you had men of different races, different generations, different regions of the country. Jackie came of age in Pasadena, California, and Branch Rickey born on a farm in Ohio along the Kentucky border. Two much different men. I think what they had in common, they were bound together by this great game of baseball and by a strong faith in God. They both had a strong faith in God. And so in terms of sourcing, a lot of the material I got was out of the Library of Congress. The Robinson family was generous enough to donate to the entire nation Jackie Robinson's personal papers, and I think people have gone through them and kind of looked at, you know, what he had to say in letters and whatnot about baseball, about civil rights, and all of that is very important. I wanted to take the tact of looking at something completely different, and I found some of Jackie's personal writings that haven't really been highlighted much before, if at all, where he got very personal about how faith in God was sort of a critical ingredient for him, of course. I mean, it sort of makes sense, but I just haven't seen a lot of people focus on it, so I sort of dug deep on the idea that to not just deal with the pressure that he faced, but to overcome the pressure, the threats, the taunts, the racial epithets, and the death threats, frankly, all because he wanted to play baseball, a lot of it was leaning on his personal faith in God.
I'll get to his faith in a moment. I want to talk about Branch Rickey because you and I both know the vote was 15-1. Let's not do this. And then he signed him, and at least he started out in the International League with the Montreal Royals, and Montreal was a very accepting city in 1946.
They were, yeah.
So I want to get to then Branch Rickey. Where did faith play a role? Because if I recall in the interviews I've seen about this, you've talked about him talking with his pastor, and it opened his eyes.
Yeah, well, I've got two things. I mean, what's new in this book is I learned 10 years ago, accidentally, that there was a little twist on history and that Branch Rickey had some second thoughts and almost pulled out of the deal in 45, 2 years before Jackie went to the big leagues. As you suggested, it's about his minor league contract with the Montreal Royals. And look, I don't think it makes Branch Rickey any less of a hero that as well. Jackie's the real hero here, but Rickey's a hero as well for sticking his neck out as a white man in 1945 for an African-American. That didn't happen very often, to say the least, especially this magnitude. He had some second thoughts, Branch Rickey. I think it makes him more of a hero because it shows that he thought through this very carefully. This was not willy-nilly. He knew this was going to be hard, extremely hard. And so he secretly went to a minister in Brooklyn Heights, a famous church called Plymouth Church, still around today, and was a stop on the Underground Railroad in the 1800s. If you Google it, look it up on your own. And I think it was the scene of yet another important important moment in the civil rights movement because Branch Rickey went behind closed doors with this minister. I won't, you know, I'll let you, I'll save it for 42 Faith so you can check it out, the actual details. But the point is, it shows that at this critical moment, Branch Rickey leaned on his faith, and it shows, secondly, that the narrative in the movie 42 and a lot of the other books that have been written about both of these two great men have been on the, you know, gone with the notion that Branch Rickey was so religious and so moralistic that he was dead certain this was the right thing to do. He never wavered. His nickname was the Mahatma. Another nickname was El Chipo because of the way he slashed the Brooklyn Dodgers contracts. But the Mahatma never wavered. You know, he knew this was the right thing, and he was going to do it. Damn the consequences. Well, I think actually it's a little more complicated. And again, that complication makes him more of a hero. Quick other story, going back to his childhood. A lot of people don't know that in the early 1900s, Branch Rickey, long before he was a big executive with the Cardinals and then the Dodgers and finally the Pirates, he wanted to be a big league ball player. He went to his mom and on this farm in Ohio and said, I want to do it. And she said, no. And he said, why? And she said, well, because all baseball players do is drink and swear and party, and I don't want you doing that, because they were Methodist family. Like Jackie, by the way, Methodist family as well. Mm-hmm. And bottom line is, Branch Rickey didn't take no for an answer, or at least not easily, as we could tell later in his life with the integration of baseball. Goes back to his mom the next day and says, all right, I'll make you a deal. So what are you talking about? He says, look, if you let me chase my dream, I promise you, I will never play on Sunday. And she thought about it and said, okay. And so one of the fascinating revelations to me in the book, 42 Faith, is that, you know, Branch Rickey, even when he was a famous executive for the Dodgers, integrating baseball in the 40s, and his parents had passed away. So technically, you know, like a lot of us in our lives, well, I made a promise to my parents, but now they've passed, and I've got my own life. He could have easily gone to Ebbets Field on Sunday, but his grandson, who's still alive, Branch Rickey III, told me he almost never went to the ballpark on Sunday. He remembered feeling badly, his grandfather feeling badly, and telling him, well, I did go to Ebbets Field on a Sunday because it was a war bonds drive, and I thought our nation was at war in World War II, and I should go. But it gives you an idea of the commitment and the faith.
In 42 Faith, you talk about Jackie's faith. He did not wear it on his sleeve.
Correct.
So where, you know, tell us a revelation or two, Ed, that opened the door on his faith.
Well, I mean, his mother, Mally Robinson, is actually the original hero here. Her husband leaves home when Jackie's an infant. He's born on a plantation in Georgia. And this woman, think about an African-American woman around 1920, putting Jackie and four siblings on a train from Cairo, Georgia, to Pasadena, California, all because her half-brother said that California was halfway to heaven. I don't think he meant it necessarily in a faith standpoint, maybe just the balmy weather out there. But she wanted her piece of the American dream. One of the details I found in my reporting that I just could not believe was that Mally Robinson literally had a few dollars sewn into her dress just to make sure she had a few bucks for her kids on that train ride. Think about a train ride. Think about even right now from Georgia to California on a first-class Amtrak car. It'd be okay, but it'd be long and arduous. Think then about what they called the colored cars. You know, how hot, how dank, how dark, how messy and dirty they had to be for this family to go all the way cross-country. So, of course, Jackie goes there, and he's raised by this single mom. Pasadena, he faced all kinds of discrimination. He joins a gang. He has a criminal record. He's about to go the wrong way. It was a Christian minister, Reverend Carl Downs, at the Scott United Methodist Church out there. I visited it among many research stops around the country. And this minister said, you're going to ruin your life. You're going to ruin all this athletic talent. Get back on the right path. And so Jackie not only, you know, makes it to UCLA as a four-letter man, baseball, basketball, football, and track and field, but he wrote in his own autobiography, Jackie, that because of that minister, he'd get pounded on the gridiron on Saturday, UCLA. Some say if he had been a halfback in the NFL, he might have been better than Jim Brown or someone else. He was amazing. Mm-hmm. Saturday, he gets all beat up. Sunday morning, he says he doesn't want to get out of bed. He's all tired, but he gets out of bed. Why? He made a commitment to that minister who changed his life that he was going to teach Sunday school to the next generation at that same church. So here he is. I mean, how many college football stars, not to pick on anyone, Penn State, Florida, Ohio State, you name the school, how many of them get out of bed on Sunday morning after a big game and say, you know, I'm going to go teach Sunday school? I'm not trying to knock them. I'm not trying to be, you know, preacher here, but I'm just saying the level of commitment that Jackie Robinson had. And you fast forward to when he's with the Dodgers, his rookie year, his wonderful wife Rachel Robinson is still alive, almost 95 years old. She remembers that rookie year, he'd come home from Ebbets Field. They had a tiny apartment in Midtown Manhattan around Herald Square. And before he went to bed, he'd get down on his hands and knees and pray to God, just like his mother, just like his minister, Carl Downs, taught him way back in Pasadena. I found that a pretty awesome detail, that here's this now famous, you know, breaker of the color barrier, baseball star for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and just like all of us, we're imperfect, he gets down on his hands and knees and prays before bed. And that's pretty awesome, and it shows me, and you'll see in 42 Faith, I got a lot more examples, that faith was something that was really a bond between Branch Rickey and Jackie Robinson.
And he was very poorly treated wherever he went on the road. Philadelphia in particular, I think, is one that would come out right away about that. But you also had to make a decision on this in terms of what words were put into this that you would never in a million years be comfortable with. How important, though, in the end, was it to be realistic to show the hatred?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I wrote in the first draft, just by force of habit and how we behave now, and rightly so, you know, in the original narrative of the book, it was due last August, I repeatedly used, quote-unquote, N-word. I just said N-word, you know, when people, you talk about the Phillies manager, Ben Chapman, who just said vicious, vile stuff about Jackie that we wouldn't repeat on the radio or in private, and thank God for that. And yet, this happened, and my wife and a good friend of mine, as I turned in the manuscript, I mentioned this to them just in passing, and I'm glad I did. And they said, wait, you didn't actually use the words? And I said, well, no. And they said, how could you not? I mean, this is, you're writing history. And again, I'm normally doing daily news. I haven't written something about, you know, like a, obviously a book, but also, you know, historical work like this. And they said, this is the times. This is what it was in 1945. And if you don't actually quote it, you know, rightly and accurately, it's not going to have the full impact of what Jackie really faced. And it was interesting. I sat down for an interview with an African-American journalist at the Wall Street Journal the other day, and we talked about this subject, and he said, look, I'm glad that you actually said the words, because it is history, number one, and number two, the impact is greater. But number three, he said something interesting. He said, it would actually be PC of you to censor it, you know, to not say what was said, because I, you know, in a twist way, by being sort of quote-unquote PC and saying, well, I don't want to use that word. Again, I didn't want to offend anyone, and I don't want to offend anyone. But at the end of the day, if you're going to do history, you've got to say, this is what Jackie overcame. He didn't overcome someone saying the N-word. He overcame someone saying that actual word, not once, not, you know, probably thousands of times, people attack him. And the death threats he had, I think hats off as well to some of his white teammates, like Ralph Branca and Carl Erskine, who stood up for him early and often. Opening day, April 15th, 1947, there was reports they told the Dodgers before the game there's going to be a sniper out there at Ebbets Field out beyond the outfield. He might try to shoot Jackie. In the opening introductions before the game, since it was opening day, Ralph Branca, the big, tall, white pitcher, tall, you know, bigger target, you know, made a show of standing right next to Jackie. One of his brothers after the game said, Ralphie, what were you thinking? And I quote him in the book saying, look, you know, there are worse ways to go than standing up for your teammate. And I thought those simple acts of kindness and bravery, teammates, you know, the brotherhood that was on that Brooklyn Dodgers team, Pee Wee Reese and others who stood up for Jackie. Yeah, they're real heroes as well.
Yeah, Pee Wee Reese walking over, putting his arm around him. Yeah.
Yep.
Finally, just so people know, Easter, Passover, Father's Day, birthday, strongly recommend this book. Strongly recommend it.
I appreciate that. I think if you're a baseball fan, I got a lot on 1951, the shot heard around the world, including the story that Carl Erskine has never told, but he told for this book.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, one quick thing. Three favorite golf courses.
I haven't been to Augusta yet. I got to get there.
I'm with you.
I just played Adios recently, like two or three times down in Florida.
What?
I don't know if you've heard about it.
Yes.
You know it?
Yes. I haven't played it, but I know of it.
Adios is amazing. Dan Marino's a member, and so is Carl Yastrzemski, who I actually met on the golf course. And I'm a Yankees fan, but I got great respect for Yaz and a lot of those Red Sox players. So those are a couple on the list for sure. What about yours?
Oh, me? I'll tell you one I love out in Arizona, Ventana Canyon.
Oh, I've been there in Tucson.
Tucson.
That's on my list. Tucson.
Oh, yeah. Mountain course, Ventana Canyon.
Oh, one of the best.
The pro told me when I went out, he said, look, every putt breaks away from the mountain. And I had an obvious right to left, but the mountain was on the left. So I followed his advice.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember him telling me the very same thing. That part of Arizona is nice because it's not quite as crowded as Phoenix and Scottsdale, although I was just out in Scottsdale with Bud Selig and Jerry Reinsdorf from the White Sox. And we didn't play golf, but we had lunch together. And the baseball stories those guys had. Have me back sometime. We'll tell some stories.
Absolutely. Mountain Shadows, right, out in Scottsdale.
Oh, I got to check that. I haven't played that. But you got to check 42faithbook.com. Yep. It links you to Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and Christian bookstores all around the country, 42faithbook.com.
Please, everybody, check it out. This book is well worth it. Ed, thanks a lot. You gave us a lot of time today, and I really appreciate it.
I'll do it again. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Ed Henry, Fox News, chief national correspondent who wrote the book, 42 Faith.